Holy One, as your word is read and your scripture proclaimed, may we hear with joy the message that you have for us this day. Amen. Our lessons today come to us from the epistles, the first reading from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Hear now God's word. Therefore, I, a prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father and Mother of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. And our second reading from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves in love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, O God, and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have a love affair with mail. Mail time is by far my favorite part of the day. And if you were to ask my family, the very first question I ask when I walk in the door at the end of the day, it is, has anyone gotten the mail yet? Now, for the most part, the mail isn't now what it once was, mostly catalogs and bills and junk mail. But on occasion, on a glorious occasion, a real letter comes. A letter penned by a friend or a loved one. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, it is wonderful. Some of us in this sanctuary probably remember a time when mail, snail mail, was the only kind of mail that we got. Handwritten letters, carrying news not just of the day, but of a week or a month or maybe even a year. In fact, for the better part of the last few centuries, personal letters were the main method of communication. Letters carefully written and carried across frontiers, between states and territories, even from coast to coast. Letters have been a way for us to hear the voices of often silenced people in our culture because of gender or station or race. And letters between leaders and or spouses have offered us a glimpse into our world of power, thinking particularly about the letters between Dolly and James Madison. Letters have helped build and sustain relationships over vast distances and through long periods of absence. We have some of those letters preserved in museums and libraries, and they tell us a story about who we are and where we came from. Saved and passed down, letters have shaped our understanding of who we are. Recently, this packet of letters came to my father's apartment, sent by his sister from California, who also happens to be downsizing her home. These letters are from 1887 and 1888, written between my great-grandparents as they developed their relationship early on before they were married. These precious letters not only helped them stay in touch, but enabled them to share details of their lives, to encourage each other, and to strengthen their relationship. Reading these letters helps me to know something about Alice Bell Gibbons and Mervyn Kirkpatrick, about their lives as homesteaders on the prairies of Nebraska, about their love for each other, and about the family they were beginning to form. Now, while these letters were not directly written to me, I still find myself connected to them, for they tell the story of a people, my people, who, like me, are trying to manage the demands of a busy life and build a family. And so it is not surprising that I have loved studying these texts this week, which are letters. Letters likely from one of Paul's followers to people in communities in the cities of Ephesus and Colossae. People who were trying to figure out how to live out their faith in a world that was increasingly hard to navigate. They were part and parcel of a world that was filled with an amazing number of contrasting theologies and truths, and they were being pressured to declare their allegiance to lots of different factions of power. They were a wavering people, a wandering people, and these letters remind them of the hope found in the Gospels. They calm their fears and focus them on the simple ethics of what it means to live a Christian life. And from these letters, friends, is a message to us today as we set off on the beginning of our year of Christian formation, of living and learning and growing as individuals and as a family of faith. For you and I are a people also wavering and wandering. We too are folks who are trying to figure out how to navigate a world of ever-shifting landscapes. We too live in a world where truth is hard to find and where fear threatens to overshadow hope. This is the world we occupy, and this is the world into which these letters speak to us a powerful message. We are called. That's the very first line of the passage I read out of the letter to Ephesians, the command to live a life worthy of our calling. You and I live in a time where we sometimes wonder if the gifts that we have are worth anything, for we have been tainted by a world of false hierarchy, of a fake competition where it appears that some gifts seem to be held above others. Indeed, we might think, and the world would like to suggest, that power and importance, well, that they go hand in hand with wealth and splendor. Yet you and I believe something different. We believe and we read a gospel that subverts every bit of that suggestion. For you and I know that God shows up in a manger, not a palace. And that those who get the good news of Jesus' birth are the shepherds, not those with stocks and bonds. We know that Jesus chose the sinners and the outcast to eat with, not the famous or the celebrity. Indeed, the writer of Ephesians emphasizes the importance of every member of God's community and reminds them of Jesus' acceptance and celebration of the gifts of everyone, something that at the 11 o'clock service we will enact as we dedicate and commission all of our leaders for their work this year. When you and I accept that we are called, when we believe that what we have been given is worthy, then our lives begin to reflect the gospel call to love and serve. And we are called to life together. We are called to be a living, breathing community of believers. Our text in Colossians encourages us to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and patience. We are to be forgiving of each other, and we are to wear love, an outward, visible garment of love that helps us bear with one another for better and for worse. When we live this way, we offer the world an incredibly vivid portrait of what the beloved community, the family of God, looks like. You see, our way of life together becomes a witness to the larger world about the work and the worth of love, of forgiveness, of reconciliation. And as we live into our individual callings and into our corporate life together, we show what an inclusive, diverse, distinctly gospel-driven community looks like. We proclaim that life together is life abundant. We are called into this life together as a family of God, to be God's called out people, the church, where here it is that we learn to be a follower of Jesus, where we learn about the gifts that we have been given, where we are equipped through our study and our worship, our prayer and our fellowship, to go out and to serve. It is here in our life together that we grow in our understanding of what it means to be called as a church family, to be sustained by grace, to serve Christ, to share God's love, and to work for justice in a complex world. We learn here about growing up and growing toward always what God intends for us. And we are called to unity. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who is mother and father of us all. Yeah, we are called as well to unity, a unity that is created by and grows with this love that we find in our lives together. It is a love that, and a unity that exists because it makes connections created by the Spirit, and one that happens because of our shared life in baptism. It isn't a unity based on a joint agenda or a particular way of viewing the world nationally or politically. It is a unity found in the Spirit of God, a spirit of love and peace. And it is a unity that overcomes all the barriers that divide us. It is a unity of all creation. And even as I say those words, I know how hard it is to believe that right now, given what we see in our world. But you and I must never stop believing that God is at work, bringing all things together, making all things new in Christ. We must not ever stop believing that reconciling all of God's creation is God's intention, even when we cannot see it, And especially when what we see is to the contrary, you and I are called to believe in unity. I imagine that there were times when my great-grandparents despaired, that there were times when their lives apart were difficult, and their heart ached. I also imagine that the letters that they saved became for them a way of holding on to what they believed, a belief that they would once again be reunited and reconciled to live as one in life together. In the same way, beloved, when we despair or wonder what is to come, when we become overwhelmed by what we see in the world, or when we question our own gifts, we have these letters in our gospel text, in our scripture, to remind us what it is that we believe. That we believe that we have been called as one, one body, one church, one community, one family of faith, to life together. Amen.